Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I'm just going to cut to the chase in here. Everyone in here suffers setbacks, okay? We live in the world, we're not of it. And in these setbacks, the analogy that I think of is I think of athletes. You know, you guys all know our son-in-law coaches for the Philadelphia Eagles, and right now everybody's healthy. Man, everybody's getting stronger. They've rehabbed injuries, they've been in the offseason, and they're all healthy. But once they start playing, once that ball's kicked off, every one of them get hurt. Every one of them is injured. You know, it's interesting because a few years ago they were talking and they said, well, you know, it's good when Sam Bradford was the quarterback for the Eagles and press was on the staff and people would say, well, Bradford's okay unless he gets hurt. And you know, it's like, well, no duh. We could say that about anybody. But the idea of it, if you think about it, and what press told me, he said, listen, they're all hurt. All of them are in treatment. All of them are rehabbing through the season. And what happens is, and when I think of a setback, I think of something that happens in the middle of our rehab that causes a setback in that recovery and in our strength and in our health. And I want to talk to you about what we do when that setback hits our lives, okay? Because the bottom line is we all deal with setbacks, whether it's financial or marital or in our career or in our relationships or whatever. But I'll tell you, people that are successful and honestly reach a fulfillment in life know what to do when that setback hits. And I think that's the key for all of us. And I could make it specific, and we could talk about setbacks in marriage today or in finances today. But this is just some general principles and thoughts based upon God's word when setbacks hit. Okay, the first thing we have to do is we have to manage our emotions. And you've heard that a lot. Because what I want to tell you is expect setbacks. We don't live our life in a vacuum. Other people drive on the road. So you might be the world's best driver, but there are going to be setbacks that happen in our life. As for me, my confession of faith is the last wreck I had is the last wreck I'm going to have. But listen, in my life, if I'm not prepared for setbacks, where Jesus said, in this world you'd have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. See, if we understand that there are going to be setbacks, I expect them, now I can manage my emotions through it. And I think that's a big deal. I think it's got to be much less emotion, life does, and much more of the Spirit of God, much more of God's word and God's promise. We have to learn what needs to be learned. The Bible says, study the word to show yourself approved. See, studying isn't me cramming for a test so that I can have the right answers in the test and move on. Studying, has to be important that I get the information. You know, this isn't a teaching time. Even though there's times that we have to teach as parents, as educators, but this is a time where it's like, okay, here, you got to catch this. It's not just learned, but we have to catch it. We got to build, what church does is it helps us build muscle memory into our faith. And see, we have to, it makes our faith strong. And see, we look at this that we have to learn what must be learned. There's too many ignorant Christians out there. There's too much sloppiness in our definitions. That's why a lot of times here, if you've been to church here for a while, you'll hear me say, man, my working definition of this is this. My working definition of commitment. Man, where somebody says, man, you got to commit. I think that we could have variances of and a variety of definitions of the word commit. My working definition of commit is I've entered a room with no exits. So if you've entered a room with no exits, you might as well not waste your time looking for a way out. That's what commitment is for me. And we have to understand, so we have to learn what has to be learned. Tomorrow, we turn tomorrow around today. See, I could talk to you and say, listen, we got to make a plan for 2019. And I think there's a time for that. But I'm talking about setbacks right now. Your setback, like we're not making plans for January. We're making plans for tomorrow. You know, and I think there's a way to do with some people, well, I'm just taking it a day at a time. That's great, unless it's today. You've got to be, dealing with today because you've got tomorrow in mind. See, and so in doing this, we turn tomorrow around today. And we speak the word, that the word that we speak becomes the seed that we sow for tomorrow. And I think it's that simple. We're not just here to find a way. We got to find a way. No, we have to find the way. Jesus didn't say, hey, I'm a way. He said, I'm the way. You want to get to God, you got to go through me. I know that we want to pacify other religions in the world and say, well, you know, there's a lot of different ways to God. There's not. There's one way. His name's Jesus. You don't get to God without Jesus. Well, man, what about good people that live good lives, that are good Jewish people and Hindu people and Muslim people? Man, they're good people. I'm like, great, let's give them a gold star in their church art. But the access to heaven is only through Jesus. And that's how this works. That's the setup. And we can't be, see, there's things that it's interesting in science, we want absolutes. In our belief system, where so many people are uncomfortable with absolutes, I'll just tell you this, I have to have absolutes. Either God's a healer or he's not. I can't serve, I can't follow, and I can't preach a God who's schizophrenic. I mean, it's either the word is true or I'm out. And see, that's how we have to live our lives. We have to live our lives, and we look at it. There's four gospels. And what God does is he gives us four perspectives on the earthly walk and ministry of Jesus. And it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what they are is they're a bridge to the new and better covenant that God's given us that starts in the book of Acts. Okay? But this bridge is interesting because what this bridge is designed to do, it's designed to give us content and context. And I'm gonna read a passage from the book of Luke. And Matthew and Mark both wrote about this same experience with Jesus. And what they wrote about was, man, these four fishermen that became disciples. And let me tell you, that's the content. That's the end of the story. That's awesome. I got in trouble at the 9:30 service because I started talking about a movie I went to. And I gave that movie a 2 stars out of 1,000. Okay? And I wasn't going to say the name of the movie, and evidently it just slipped out. Things just happened. And maybe I spoiled the end of the movie for people that hadn't got to see it. But I feel like you saved like $15. The popcorn was really good. The seat was real comfortable. The movie just, Mission Impossible, just wasn't that good a movie. Okay, and I just, yeah, at the end of the movie, he gets a girl and the bad guy falls in the helicopter. And I don't want to spoil the movie, but you know, I know nobody likes the spoiler, the movie spoiler. But the guy's 5'4". The helicopter weighs 5,000 pounds. It's hanging by a cable. And he reached over and grabbed the cable. We're like, this is the cable fell. I'm like, dear God, he's not Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is not the Terminator. And I can spoil that movie to you for you too. But the thing about this is that, shut up. It's about, no, we were going to go to the other movie, but it had 100 F-bombs. Well, shoot, I really want to see it. It's 2 hours long. That's like one a minute. Let's go to the other. It had an F-bomb. It was like 2 hours into the movie. I knew it was 2 hours because I spent the movie like this. And I also got ridiculed because your watch, the glow-in-the-dark parts of your watch, evidently they start dimming as you get older. So I'm trying to see the numbers on my, just how long are we going to sit here? And I'm eating my popcorn. The popcorn was really good. And the woman next to me was on the Facebook the whole time. It's like, okay. And I didn't even blame her. Usually I'll be like, hey, how about a little love for the guy sitting next to you, turn your phone off. But I didn't, because it wasn't that big a deal, because it was Mission Impossible. But so I was like this, and I got my phone out and turned the light on so I could see my watch. And I go back, and they're talking to me like I'm an idiot. And I'm thinking, yeah, I probably shouldn't have turned the light on. And Taylor said, Dad, the time, the clock is on your phone. You don't have to turn on the light. So now you see the uphill battle of my life, okay? You understand the setbacks I have to deal with, okay? But let's go to Luke, the fifth chapter, and where Matthew and Mark give us content, Luke gives us context. And this is in regard to maybe the setbacks that you have to deal with in life. So it was, as the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, they called it the paradise of Galilee, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. See, number one is we have to lead with the word. When you're in a setback, you have to lead with the word. Everything you do, you have to lead with the word. You go into a doctor's appointment, they run some tests, and the doctor said, hey, you may want to sit down. The word doesn't ever say you may want to sit down. The word says, take a stand. The word says, having done all to stand, you stand therefore. See, that's how we have to look at our life. The world, take a seat. Why? Because this news is about to hit you. Well, let me tell you, if news is about to hit me, I don't want to give it my soft underbelly to hit. I want to give it something hard to hit. And Paul says this, he says, harden yourself to difficulties. How do you do that? You hide God's word in your heart. Man, God's word, let me tell you something, is gonna ambush all the bad news and any bit of setback that you're gonna receive in life. So we have to lead with the word. We always have to put the promise first. So the doctor says, hey, you may wanna sit down. Hey, doc, I'm gonna stand. Okay, I got some bad news for you. Okay, before you deliver the bad news, God, I just thank you today that he was bruised for my iniquity, the chastisement of peace was upon him, and by his stripes I was healed. What's the news, God? See, now that news that you're gonna get is gonna hit, but it's gonna hit something hard. It's not gonna hit where it buckles you. See, we put God's word first. Please listen to me. This is not just an exercise. We always put God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things the world's trying to get is gonna be added unto you. Everything in my life that I value, from my marriage to my children to vehicles to my home, everything came to me. See, you have to understand that Sandy and I put an offer in our house in January. 15 years ago, we heard nothing. And in September, the realtor, the sellers hired a new realtor, and that realtor called our realtor and said, are those buyers still out there? See, we went from pursuing that house to just letting it sit. And it's interesting because the realtor said, well, she said, yeah. She said, well, can you ask them to give another offer? And she said, I have, and they won't do it. The guy's bullheaded, and he feels like, and I'm old school again, okay? Man, I've made an offer. If they don't counter, if I make another offer, now I'm bidding against myself. That makes no sense to me. There's an offer on the table. If you'd like to counter, you can. And you know what? And my mentality is, I need them going my direction. See, they're here, and I'm here, and we were $120,000 apart. And it was significant in that with the house. It's a high percentage. And you know what? And it made no sense to put the offer in that we did. And they came down $25,000. I went up $5,000. What they didn't know is that was my number. There's no negotiation from here. I didn't say that to them, but they came down $30,000. And my realtor said, oh my gosh, you ought to take it. I said, I'm not taking it. I've got an offer in, and that's my offer. That's my number. She said, no, it'll offend them. I said, I didn't tell them their kids were ugly. I didn't go up and say, hey, is that your nose or is that a dill pickle? I gave them an offer for their house. There's guys out there going, dear God, is he talking about me? And no, you know what? And then, listen, 2 weeks later, they accepted that offer where I bumped it up $5,000. And honestly, when they called and she said, oh my gosh, they took your offer. I'm like, they did? Are you kidding me? I didn't think there was any chance. So you know what I look at? That house came to us. Man, that house, everything I value in my life has come to me. Why? Because we put God first, put God first, put God first. And let me tell you, that's not natural for me to do. I've got to make myself most times. So we put God's promise first. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a catch. This is where the problem that most people have with God's promise. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Well, you know what that is? That's a setback in business. They worked all night. In the morning, they were cleaning their nets. This stonemason's son gets in the boat, doesn't ask. He didn't say, hey, can I borrow your boat? He gets in the boat and said, hey, launch this out a little bit. And he sits in another man's boat that he was unfamiliar with, and he taught the word. He said, we've caught nothing. But then he said a key word. He said, nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. Number two, you got to get past your doubt. We all have it. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We know going in that our tribulation has been overcome because the world it sits in has been overcome. See, that we say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and don't receive any doubt in our heart, we'll have whatever we say. You've got to get past your doubt. And you know what? We're usually dealing in the present, in the now. And my now is fill in the blank. It's usually bad or poor or needs to get better, okay? But then we add that key word, nevertheless. And when he'd done this, that's the next verse. When he'd done this, number three is we've got to act. See, and let me just tell you, this is another big misnomer that most people have. You have to do something. I'll tell you, a knee jerk for some people is, man, I've gone through this setback, I'm going to fast. Thinking there's some magic in the fast. There's not. But let me tell you, they are doing something. Does that make sense? I'm in a setback. I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm going to pray every morning. Do something. I'm telling you, and you're not just going through the motions. You have to do something. In the sixth verse, he said, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. Okay, this wasn't customary. Their net was breaking after they acted. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. Number four, you have to have new expectations. This one's huge. Write down number four, new expectations, and circle it. Because life's going to be disrupted. If you just allow that setback to play out, there's not going to be, it could be seamless. There could be absolutely no disruption. And you know what? You could end up sailing so far out of direction that you may never get back. It might take you years to get back on course. But let me tell you, you've got to expect disruption. Your life is going to be disrupted. Man, you're in this setback. You have to have new expectations. Man, you got to call in your partners. Which was great for them because in Mark and Matthew's gospel, it just said, man, these four guys hooked up with this stonemason's son and became disciples and followed after Jesus. And that's the content. But the context of it is Jesus disrupted everything about him. Why? Because Simon was out there in his boat and his boat started sinking, his net started breaking, and he whistles, he calls to James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and he said, hey, get over here, you're my partner. And they're like, no, you're... But you know what they had to, man? They were their brothers. They had to go out there. It's ride or die. So they went out there. What happened? Their nets started splitting. Their boats started sinking. And you know what Jesus proved to him? You follow me, it's going to be new expectations, new harvest, new production in life. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. And he said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Number 5, and this one's huge. I'll just tell you, I don't talk about this enough. Simon Peter had a revelation, the first revelation he ever had in his life. He had a revelation of the fear of the Lord. In both Proverbs and Psalms, the Bible says this, that fear of the Lord brings wisdom. And wisdom is the principal thing. How could Simon Peter, how could James and John, the sons of Zebedee, how could those guys follow after Jesus? Because they had a revelation of the fear of the Lord, and that's the beginning of wisdom. That's how they could make that kind of decision. In verse 9, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch which they had taken, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you'll catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Do you see how Jesus said, look, you got to overcome your fears. You got to get past your doubts. And he repeated it here. But point number 6, and this one's huge, is what this life brings is elevation. It's going to be a higher level of living. It's going to require you having higher standards in life. There's things that you used to could do. You used to could go to those movies with 100 F-bombs in 2 hours. But you know what now? I'm in a setback in my life that I'd just as soon get out of. I'd just as soon recover. I'm not going to take 2 hours and fill my soul with 100 F-bombs. So you know what? I'm going to pass and I'm going to go to the other movie. It doesn't mean you don't go to movies. It means your standard changes. Because at some point, where does the Spirit of God rise up in you saying it's time for you to walk from this movie? Man, anytime I'd go to the movie house, Sandy and I would go up, and now you can do it online, so you just walk in. Anytime I'd go up to the teller and I'd go to buy the ticket and there's a line of people, I'm telling you, every time somebody would say, "Hey, Pastor, how's it going?" I'm going, "It's going good." You know what they'll say? "What movie are you going to see?" Expecting it better be like Finding Nemo or... Why? Because I'm held to a higher standard, a stricter code, a stricter standard. See, we are. Why? Because there's elevation in our life. Well, life with Jesus, here's an absolute. You ready? You can write this down. Life with Jesus only elevates. Only. That's all it does. But you know what? Expect setbacks. Setbacks happen. Well, we've had a setback in our marriage. That's okay, because your marriage is strong. Well, we've had a setback in my health. Oh, that's okay, because God's the God who heals you. Man, no evil shall, but you guys need a word? No evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near where you live. There's a hedge of protection about your life. Man, if you're here today and you're dealing with something like that, all you have to do, listen, just close your eyes, just lift your hand, say, "God, thank you for that hedge of protection." What does this do? It gives you muscle memory. What's it doing? It's taking God's promise and it's putting it out in front of what's bringing fear in your life. We all deal with fear. That's why Jesus, there's 365 times in the Word where God says, or Jesus says, "Fear not." That's how many days there are in the year. It gives you, it repeats it for every single day. See, I'm not a big numbers guy like that, but that's a pretty cool coincidence. God is that meticulous. He gives me a fresh word every single day to not fear. No, the end's near, the end's coming. No, let me just tell you. Everything in the world ends when we say it ends. Oh, they're flying planes into, oh, terrorists. Oh, it's Armageddon. Oh, this must be the end. No, the Bible says the end comes when the gospel's preached to the four corners of the earth. That's when the end comes. We're doing that. See, it starts with us making a decision. It starts with us, and here's the question. Do you deal with setbacks? You guys have had a setback this year, huh? Is it going to stop you? Knocked you down, but you got to get back up. But guess what? You had partners. You guys had a company of people. Nobody in your life said, oh, see, this, the promise of God doesn't work. No, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. What the world's going through, we go through, just differently. Because we're in this world, we're not of it. Yeah, it hits us, but we got something hard to hit. Why? We carry the shield of faith, which is what? It doesn't stop the fiery darts. It quenches the fiery darts. Are fiery darts still going to come? Sure. I think the closer you get to the target, I heard a Vietnam veteran, a pilot, fighter pilot in Vietnam, he was saying, let me tell you, you knew when you were getting close to the target because we were getting pummeled with bullets and shells. Man, we're flying. We're miles away coming in. Man, we're cruising. It's beautiful. Life is so, so simple and easy. We get close to that target, man, the enemy is barraging us with artillery. That's when we know we're getting close. See, some of you guys, let me tell you, that setback that you're sensing or feeling is just because you're really close to the target. And you know what I realized years and years ago as a brand new Christian? I realized that most believers don't walk in God's promise because the step before they land in that promise place, that promised land, that provision, the step before, the enemy pummels them so hard that they quit and they give up. Any times I've ever done that, that I may not even realize, I regret that. Take that next step. God wants to elevate your life. Man, if you've been in the same place spiritually, in the same place maybe financially, or the same place in your health for a long time, take responsibility for your life. Go back to these six principles, these six steps, these six simple things from, what, half a dozen verses. And you look at it, and let me just tell you, if God did it for Simon Peter, he's bound to do it for you. He's a God of precedent. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, I got passed over for promotion. That was a setback. Yeah, sure. So what do? Man, you put the word first. You put his promise first. Man, you realize that you have to expect setbacks. That's why God sent his son. Is your life right with God? Is Jesus truly the Lord of your life? You know, there's two pivotal things that came from the Old Testament to the New Testament. One we've already done, and it's communion. But the other is water baptisms. And we're going to follow after, give people an opportunity to follow after Jesus in water baptism today. And you'll say, oh, that's the magic I need. Can I preface water baptisms with, there's nothing magical about it. You know what it is? It's humbling. It brings humility. You're not prepared for it. You've got jeans and boots on and a t-shirt, and they're going to dunk you in front of a bunch of people? Yeah. The Bible says this, though. You humble yourself. Man, God gives grace to the humble but resists the proud. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Man, without that humility in your life, you're never going to have God's hand on your life. Please understand that. Please realize that. You know what it is? It's humbling. Man, so humbling. It was so humbling for Jesus that John didn't want to do it. He said, I'm not worthy to do this. Do you know who you are and who I am? I've known you all your life. You're a different cat. I'm not worthy to carry your sandals. And Jesus said, hey, John, will you stay in your lane? We just do what you're supposed to do. You know all this stuff plays out. Just get me under that dadgum water. Watch what God's going to do in my life. Why? Because Jesus humbled himself, John the Baptist humbled himself, and the Holy Spirit lit upon him like a dove. And guess what? Game changer. Why? Humility. Man, we could all get on an airplane and fly to Israel and stand where Jesus stood, do what Jesus did, or we could get in that horse trough and stand where Jesus stood and do what Jesus did. If you're here and your life's not right with God for whatever reason, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to believe God on your behalf, and I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Because we believe in our heart into righteousness, and we confess with our mouth unto salvation. The Bible says anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You might be here, and you might have made Jesus Lord of your life at a Baptist youth camp when you were 13 years old. You know what? That's great. But if you haven't lived for God, you need to get your life right with God today. Not take another breath without God in his rightful place in your life and Jesus as Lord of your life. But let me tell you, I also want you to consider, after we pray and we release people to come up, we're going to worship one more song and release people to come up to be water baptized. I'm going to ask you, and you might have been in the church most of your adult life now, but you haven't really been following Jesus. You know what's interesting is, leading up to that net-breaking and boat-sinking experience that Simon and James and John had, you know what Jesus preached? Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Man, again, that's another thing. I don't believe I speak enough about repent. Man, that we have true repentance in our life, and a fresh revelation of the fear. Man, you think about how powerful that is. Repentance and the fear of the Lord. Man, that's what's encapsulated. That's how we get through these setbacks. That's how we come out of these setbacks elevated. And that's what God wants in your life. So if you need to get your life right with God or make Jesus Lord of your life, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Matter of fact, let's have everybody pray. But listen, as soon as we're finished praying and I release people to follow Jesus in water baptism, man, if that's you, that you're giving your life to God, or you're getting your life right with him, or you're making Jesus Lord of your life, I want you just to, without hesitation, get out of your seat and come down here, and we'll let one of these guys help you, pray with you, minister to you, and understand the dynamics of what happens here. Because the world makes us feel dirty. And then we think we are dirty. And then we've got to realize our identity with Christ, that because of the blood of Jesus, all our sins are remitted and our hearts are clean. Will you pray with me? Father God, I give you my life. I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life and whom I trust. I turn my back on sin and I repent today, God, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I'm trusting you, God, and I'm thanking you for this great life, the greatest life known to mankind. The life of God in Christ is in me now. God, I'm putting all my trust in you. God, this isn't behavior modification. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things become new, and greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. The atmosphere of my life has just changed, and I'm elevated. Everything I put my hand to prospers, and no weapon formed against me will. The setback that I've experienced is going to be an elevation in my life, and I'm coming out stronger. My life is strong. My marriage is strong. My health is strong. My finances are strong. My career is strong. My relationships are strong. My ministry is strong. And God, I thank you for the enduring attitude that I have to get through this setback, overcome, and elevate. In Jesus' name, amen.